You're listening to What She Said, a podcast for bloggers and creatives hosted by me, Lucy Sharif, a freelance journalist living in London. Each week, I interview different women in blogging and the online world, getting their best blogging tips and advice, and a little bit of gossip too. Thanks for listening. Welcome to What She Said. I hope you're having the dreamiest Monday ever, and I hope I am too. It's a weird way to start an episode. Anyway, this week I chat to the awesome Charlie Swift. She is a freelance digital marketing specialist living in Bristol, and she's just had a baby not so long ago. When I talked to her, she just started maternity leave, and she was a couple of weeks before her due date, I think. So she was in that really crazy time where you're just sort of waiting for your whole life to change. She went freelance, I think she's probably been freelance for just over a year now. And we had a really, really awesome and interesting and honest chat about what it's really like to go freelance, maybe even before you're ready to go freelance. Because she's carved out a really awesome career working with small businesses and brands on kind of creative digital marketing, and she's just so lovely. She's so sweet, and I think it'd be a really great episode for anybody who is looking to start their creative business or go freelance and wants to know what it's really, really like. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the podcast.
Hi.
How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being part of it. I should say for the listeners that Charlie is pregnant and she is waiting for her little one to arrive, so she's being a massive trooper agreeing to come on the podcast. So for anyone that doesn't know who you are, do you want to introduce yourself and just tell us about your blogging journey so far?
Sure, yeah, okay. My name is Charlie Swift. That's where you'll find me in most places online. My blogging journey is kind of, I knew you were going to ask that, so I sort of went back to have a look because I can't really remember. I actually started blogging way back in 2012, and my first blog was like, not one that I'm still blogging on anymore. It was a sort of, I think originally very much into, I was really into the vintage clothes and vintage style. So it was very much, that was the original idea. I think was sort of, I was inspired by those sort of bloggers at the time. So I started that, but I think it very quickly just became a general lifestyle blogging sort of thing. Yeah. But it was never something I've never done it particularly like professionally or been a pro blogger. It's always been more of a hobby, and it's always sort of been something that's just been a part of my life, but yeah, not been a it's led me to my career as sort of social media, which I'm doing now, but it's sort of never been the first and foremost thing. It's always sort of been like a nice thing that's been going on in the background, really.
So your main job, I guess, is in digital marketing, and you're freelance, aren't you? And you're a year freelance, is that right?
So I became freelance last September. So just over a year. I think before that I became into digital marketing. So basically, blogging sort of was a hobby that then very much led to a passion for doing it as my job, but the sort of everything came with it. So the sort of social media and the digital marketing side of it. At the time, around the time I sort of got interested in it on a personal level, I was working for a small smoothie company. Mm-hmm. So at the time, I our main sort of competitor would have been Innocent. Yeah. And I think I was very much obviously inspired by what they were doing in the market. And I think it was really around that point that I became very aware that like how a business could use sort of social media and digital marketing, and obviously they were such like innovators at that time. I think it wasn't really like many other businesses. They had such a clear voice and such a clear like brand identity. And I think because I was in that industry, it certainly was something that I started really picking up on and trying to work into my job. I was working for quite a small company, and I had quite a lot of free rein to sort of just make the online presence what I wanted it to be, sort of just really clear it. So that's kind of really how I started getting into it.
So were you in marketing anyway, and then you just...
It was just a sort of small role at the company. It was just a small company, and I was like an office manager there, but there was only like three of us, so I had very much sort of the opportunity to almost sort of start carving that out, and that was sort of where my interest became most apparent, was just like not the day-to-day task, but the really like how we could connect with the community. As it was a fair trade company, so I sort of started, I think I must have started with the social media channels, and I rebranded the website, and I just sort of made it very able to sort of make it a little bit of my personal project. And from there, I sort of realised that I really wanted a career in that sort of side of things. So, from there, I then had a couple of different jobs with digital agencies. So I really got experience with a few different agencies for a couple of years, and before getting made redundant. And that's when I started working for myself.
Yeah. And how's it been? How have you found it? Has it made you kind of take it back to your blog? So you obviously, like, your blog kickstarted this passion, or it all happened kind of around the same time. And I guess your blog has been a bit of a training ground as well.
Absolutely.
For your freelance career.
Yeah, I think it just was always a way in. So I think because I was doing it sort of very much self-taught, and everything came with it, when I left the sort of the company I was working for to try and find a career more in digital marketing, my blog was always something that I used as a sort of kind of just as that experience, really, because I hadn't had the experience as much in a role. It had just been very much, like I said, sort of self-taught, and I didn't do any particular training. I don't know if anyone really did back then. Obviously, this is going back sort of, I don't know, 7-8 years ago. I guess there were some people starting to do. It was also new anyway. Yeah. So I think it just always being at the, like, even though I wasn't doing it, I wasn't, like I said, doing a blogging professionally, I was always able to say, here's my blog, here's what I'm doing on it, here's my photography, here's, I mean, it's probably quite, like, almost laughable looking back, but I would always sort of put it on my CV as a sort of just extra interest. And it was always something that I remember talking about in job interviews when I got into a digital marketing agency. It was very much like, a large part of what I talk about was my blog more than other work experience, I think.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. I think people sometimes, so a few times I've noticed that you've said, like, you know, I'm not a professional blogger, I'm, you know, I've never done it professionally, or blah, blah, blah. But a lot of people will say that. But what does a professional blogger look like? Because to me, your blog has led you to the career that you're in now. You have it on your CV. And if it was something you talked about in a large part in your job interviews, then to me, kind of, that it is professional, isn't it? You took your blog professionally.
Yeah.
Did you always take your blog professionally? Or, I mean, I'm using professionally in the way that I mean it, in terms of your blog has led to your career, as part of your career, as part of your story. Have you always thought about it like that?
I think I see what you mean. I think probably quite quickly I saw it as more of a portfolio, as it were. Not necessarily for, like, I guess the reason I don't say, like, it was professional is, like, I wasn't a photographer or a particular, I never had a particular niche.
Yeah.
I just used it as a way to sort of show off a variety of skills, I suppose.
Sure.
Yeah, whether that's just sort of the technical side and the more creative side as well, because I think I was always interested in both as well. I think I was always a bit of a geek about, like, again, not that I'm any sort of expert, but just trying to, especially more older blog formats, you know, the coding and the, like, playing around with the back end of stuff. And I think I was always that side of things as well. So I guess I saw it as a overall, there's just so much that goes into being a blogger, whether you're right, whether obviously you're getting paid for it or not. I think it was just always a way to sort of yeah, like showcase a lot of different skills that probably stand you in good stead, and especially then when you're going into a career in digital marketing.
Yeah,
I think it really shows that understanding of promoting your posts and using social media and connecting with the community. So yeah, definitely.
I think it really, really does. You've touched on a really important point, because I think that everything I've, the job that I do now is because I started a blog. Even when I look back at those early posts and cringe at my terrible photography or, yeah, you know, whatever, it's so awkward. But even, you know, that was all a training ground. That has led me to where I am now. It honed my writing skills, it honed my photography skills. And then there's all the extra bits that you've just talked about, like promoting your posts, engaging and creating a community, and trying things out on like WordPress to see, like fiddling with bits of code to make your blog look the way you want it to. These are all really valuable skills that, I mean, it's led to you, people pay you to do this for them. So
yep.
I mean, if anyone's out there starting a blog and thinking, oh, you know, I don't want to be a full-time blogger, but I hope this can turn into a career, I feel like I want to say, yes, it can. Like, look at Charlie. You're the perfect example of it.
I think that's true, yeah. And I think it was never a, I guess I didn't have particular ambitions to do, make it on my own as a blogger. But yeah, like I wanted a career in, or again, I probably wouldn't have called it even digital marketing back then. I just, it was such a new thing that, but I think, I went into roles where, working for sort of other small companies that just were kind of figuring things out as well. So yeah. I guess that's kind of just helps to get someone on board that has that sort of, just taking that initiative really and being excited by the whole world of social media and digital marketing and sort of, just being a bit of a geek about it really and just knowing that it's something that's constantly changing and just really getting into all that. So, so that was kind of how I sort of got into it in the first place.
Go on.
No, you carry on.
So let's talk about your freelance career, but in relation to your blog, what have been, and I ask this of everybody, what's been the biggest stumbling blocks and what have been the biggest growth game changers and things like that, but I guess perhaps it'd be interesting to know what's something that you found was super helpful in your blog, kind of transferable to what you do now. Like, was there something you hit upon, a tutorial or a particular way of doing things with your blog that you now, like, that's one of your tried and tested things that you do to your clients? It's a bit of a weird question, sorry.
I'm not sure. I guess the only thing I'd say in terms of it not being for my blog is if I probably would actually say what I've found is that I've been able to have client work that I would now use the other way around. Mm-hmm. Because I think, and I think I remember when you spoke to a social media manager before, I'm certainly that cliche of like, my blog always takes back seat when I've been busy with work.
Yeah.
When I was working full-time as part of a digital marketing agency, I very rarely had that time at the end of a 40-hour week to do it. And then, you know, you'd think being freelance, I always thought, oh, I'll do more blogging, but obviously it doesn't work like that as well, because you're constantly trying to keep up with clients. So I guess the mainstay of experience has probably come through client work.
Yeah.
And then there's probably things that I would now do that I know I should do for myself, you know. Very much
interesting.
Like
what?
Probably would,
put you on the spot now.
I think just obviously with client work and working with a variety of creative businesses and bloggers, very much would be more aware of that consistency and how important that is, and how important blogging is for business and
in
for
terms of consistency of like posting, or consistency of voice, or like all of the above.
Yeah, all of it really. Yeah, I think it's certainly something that I've always found easier to do for clients than myself, really. Yeah. So I suppose that's it's always been something that I consider more as a sort of background hobby that I know I could spend a lot more time on. But for clients, it's sort of not, you know, it's not a choice, is it? You're just doing the work.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's feel like, you sort of are aware of the importance of keeping the consistency across all those channels and how to promote things properly and how to create strategies and schedules, et cetera, et cetera. But what it's probably not something I've done for myself as much.
Yeah, no, tell me about it. I think we're all a little bit guilty of do as I say, not as I do.
Oh,
because it's so easy, isn't it? You know what? If you've got bills to pay, client work does come first. And my rule has always been client work comes first. Who's paying me comes first. My blog comes second. Or, you know, the parts of my blog that I'm not paid for come second, always. I think because it is quite easy to get carried away with things, especially when you're freelance. I found that having that expanse of time, you can fill it with rubbish or you can fill it with clients. And you will fill it. Kind of either way, you will fill it.
It's amazing how you do fill it as well. You know, even when the work isn't there, I think it's I think that's certainly something I've almost struggled with as well, is that constant sort of striving to be working and to be doing productive work, which isn't always, you know, does that make sense?
I'm terrible for, I mean, bullet journaling actually has been really, really good because it's kept me a little bit more on track. And obviously, technically, I'm still on maternity leave, but I am going back month. So I'm in that stage of, oh, shit, I don't have any clients. I've just finished a contract and I need to kind of get back into that. But I have been having that dreamy 9 months of filling my time with creative projects like the podcast and things that don't pay me and stuff that I just want to do, but you will fill the time. So prioritize. Yeah. So in terms of finding clients, how have you found that? When you went freelance, was there, when you pressed the button, were like, hey, I'm going to go freelance, was there a point when you were like, yeah, I'm ready to do it now? And if so, what was that point?
Well, no, because I got made redundant, actually.
Ah, yes,
so,
of course you did. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. So, no, it was just, I think that is sort of certainly something that's been part of my journey that's probably set me off differently than perhaps people who have made those decisions to do it. It was something that was on my mind, and especially, I think, being in our sort of, being so inspired by people I see online and on Instagram, I guess I thought it was certainly something I would have loved to have done, just to have made that jump. But to actually do it, I mean, people are so brave to do it without that push, because I mean, like, it's such a huge decision to like quit a salary job and actually go to this crazy unknown world. But when I got made redundant, it did sort of just give me that, it's been something that was on my mind, and very quickly I got a couple of leads and I thought, you know, why not give this a go? But obviously I was starting from absolutely not having a plan, not having a sort of a safety net in place exactly of what I was going to do. But I thought at the same time that it was an opportunity that I really wanted to take and see where it could so it's kind of been a year of very much scrambling through it all, really, because I didn't have any of that. I think trying to sort of chase your tail, but I think as well it's a very important thing for people to realize, because it's not just like some dreamy freestyle like freelancing life where I've been like, you know, having all the clients and stuff. You are constantly trying to figure out how to make that happen at first.
And what have you found the most helpful thing in terms of finding clients?
Yeah, I think, well, so right at the start, it was very much a case of word of mouth and through connections that I'd made and through friends and sort of knowing other people who were in the sort of industry who perhaps couldn't do freelance work themselves sort of thing. So, yeah, it was very much how things started, and that was great. And then I think there was definitely a period in the last sort of after the first few months where I definitely realized obviously that wasn't going to be enough, and that you have to sort of put yourself out there and push yourself more. And I think there was certainly a period where I felt quite stuck in that, like, I wasn't exactly sure where to go and how to do it, even though obviously it's kind of that ironic thing again where it's like I do digital marketing, so I know all the theory, but again, putting it into practice, it suddenly becomes so much harder. And so I think what I did was sort of have to have a bit of a period of reassessing what I was actually doing, which is kind of when I developed my own website. I think at first it was kind of just a page on my blog, and I'd sort of just put the feelers out there and let people know it was what I was doing. But I think when I found myself in a bit of a rut with it, and I think I hadn't had any new leads for a while, and I was feeling quite a little bit depressed by it all, and very like, what am I doing? And then I sort of creating my website really helped me to get some focus on what it was that I actually wanted to do and what I wanted to offer.
I've heard that from other people as well, actually. And I think maybe it's a case of that it sets an intention in yourself a little bit, that you're like, yeah, you know what, this is my job. I need a separation from my blog because it's not just an add-on to my hobby. I'm a professional. This is my business. And I do really, really think that there's little steps that you can take as a freelancer that are quite, they're almost like micro steps that shift your thinking, like having a business account and only spending, you know, if me and you met for coffee, for example, and we're chatting about work, paying for that coffee with my business card as opposed to my normal card. It's such a small shift, and I found little things like that, they really do shift your mindset, and I found that that really helps. I don't know if you found that.
Absolutely. I think it just gave me the like confidence in what it was I was doing, and just like being able to have a bit more of that. It is being professional. It is setting yourself aside from your hobby, especially because it's It's like this. It's so many different things you do, and I think I'd definitely gone through. I have this whole year, to be honest. I think it's like just, as much as you can plan things out and as much as you would like to say this is the grand idea and the plan, you also do have to just do what becomes available, and you do have to just do the work that sometimes is in front of you, and for the price that you get, also, like, you know, the pricing is so hard, and like having to do it, it's like, it, I know, you know, you can listen to all the brilliant podcasts about like your business plan and not pricing yourself too low, but then at the end of the day you also just sometimes just need to do the work. Absolutely. And like how to get it done. So I think
I couldn't agree more. I think that's, I was talking to a friend about this just yesterday or the day before about setting rates, and that's something that I always endlessly struggle with, because there's a case of not obviously selling yourself too short and knowing your worth and all those sort of things. And we probably listen to the same podcast. You know, like when I listen to Being Boss and I'm like, oh, you know, raise your prices, do this, do that. And but that's fine. But if your price is set so high that you're like, yeah, oh my God, that's amazing if I do get it, but actually nobody wants to pay that price, you're essentially, it's a moot point, really, isn't it? It's just arbitrary. Setting rates I found to be really difficult.
I think it's definitely been one of the major things I've struggled with this year, and like I think it is for everybody, because it's so hard to figure out. And people like Being Boss, and you know, there are all like these sort of like great equations that are like, you know, you should include your technology and your holiday pay and your sick leave, and it's like, great, cool, but no one's gonna pay that. Also, it's the sort of clients that I want to work with, and the sort of clients that I've been working with are kind of people similar to me, in that they're small business owners running, you know, working for themselves, and having to pass that on as well. So it's a hard one, because that's been one of the things I've enjoyed the most about working for myself, is being able to choose my clients and being able to work with those sort of people. But again, they're not going to be the big business clients that can afford to pay a large retainer. It's a really hard balance, and I certainly don't know what the answer is to that one in terms of making it work. I think you just got to
you've got to go with your gut a little bit, haven't you? That's a really good point. When you kind of, so you're quite niche in terms of you work with small creative businesses, or small businesses anyway. And you want to hone in on your kind of dreamy clients, like the, that's a very Jen Carrington way of saying it. You could tell I've done coaching with her. She helped me so much with setting my rates. And so like when you want to work with clients that are small businesses that maybe don't have that money, you don't want to price them out. You don't. Yeah, I completely agree with you. So setting your rates is tough, and it's full of like so many different variables. It's just how long is a piece of string, really, isn't it? I think you've got to be happy yourself. You've got to factor in things like how many clients you physically can do in a month, and set your pricing a bit that way as well. Because I know for me, I took on, when I first started and when I was doing kind of social media management and things like that and a bit more digital marketing, my price was really low. So obviously I got quite a lot of clients. And then I was like, I can't handle these clients, and I'm not doing a very good job at any of them. But the sum of their parts make up a decent income. But yeah, I'm kind of doing a shit job at everything.
I think it's so easy to fall into that trap because you end up then feeling a little bit undervalued, perhaps, and also having to perform like above and beyond almost what you're being paid for because you know you can do a better job. And it's like, it's really hard. And like you said, and then you end up with lots of clients, almost too many. It is finding that balance of life, because it's such a varied job, social media, that I think end up doing so many different things. So certainly, but again, like, you know, I've only been doing it a year, so I'm kind of in that whole place where it's just been a very steep learning curve. And I think, so you know, it's only really in the last, I guess it's only really in the last, I don't know, like the last part of this year, that I feel like, again, especially since launching my website and getting a better idea of what I wanted to hone in on and what I can offer those clients, that it certainly gave me the confidence to sort of, whether it's pricing or just being more sort of confident in my skills. Because again, it's so it's a bit ridiculous, because I think as soon as you're on your own doing it, you suddenly forget that actually you've got a lot of experience working on all sorts of for years, you know, all that. It does sort of, it is really hard to sort of muster that confidence of really knowing your worth and knowing the value and being able to stick to that. I think it takes a lot of confidence to do that, really.
And where do you, like, it's hard, isn't it? You kind of need, especially when you work from home and you're by yourself. I was, again, talking to a friend who is basically one of my business besties, which is a very being boss term. But it's true. Like, I think you need to have someone like that, that you can, somebody who actually is in the industry that you can talk to. One of the places that I've found that community has been Instagram, for sure. That's where I check in with other people doing the same sort of things that I'm doing and like shoot ideas off. And you know, there's a real creative like buzz in Instagram, and you will find your tribe that way. Going back a little bit to your freelance business and starting it and all the things that you've learned from your blog, you mentioned you like you do forget how many skills that you have. Have you decided a little bit to, like, or how did you decide to niche in on the things that you wanted to offer to clients, the things that you knew you were amazing at, or the things that you knew you wanted to do more of, and
to be
offer
honest,
them
it's,
services?
Yeah, I think it's something that's certainly still evolving, or will do when I'm back at work. I think I think it's an interesting one, because I think you can overthink what people need, or like you can certainly put onto potential clients what you think they might want, create packages, and I in my experience I've really found it's not worked like that. As much as it would be nice to just sell particular packages, it just seems like most people need a bespoke service, really. So I think I've just often taken the lead from what people need, and it's just been constantly evolving my services to to fit that, really, which I appreciate. Again, it's probably not the best way around to do it, but I just think it's so hard to do it the other way because things change and marketing changes and social media changes so quickly. And I think one thing I didn't want to do coming back off sort of working for a more like digital agencies where you might sell a package of this many Facebook posts, this many tweets, etc., etc. I think I don't find that a particularly successful strategy necessarily. I want to be able to evolve, even though it probably is a bit more work in the long run.
I think that's exactly the right way around doing things, and people shouldn't be scared of that either, should they? They should like test things out. You're not going to know what a client wants until you test out a little bit. Start your website, put some rudimentary packages on there, but then tweak it. It's fine. It's not nothing set in stone.
Yeah, that definitely is something I would say to like, yeah, friends and anyone sort of writing their packages is just do it, write them, make them sound awesome, but don't also like expect them to be what you're necessarily selling. It's just not been my experience, but I think that is maybe something that you comes the more you hone it and hone it. So, you know, again, I'm sort of quite early on in that sort of process, really. So it's sort of every new client has bought something different that perhaps has. And sometimes I've found that I've had inquiries for things that, you know, aren't necessarily something I would have thought that I would have done back along, or, you know, like, so recently I've sort of definitely been doing a bit more of the consultations and the mentoring, and just that's the sort of side I love. So that's certainly something been honing in on myself and wanting to do more of is, you know, sitting down with people and thrashing out their strategies and helping them create sort of schedules and strategies for themselves and being part of but at the same time I also offer sort of day-to-day stuff. It really varies in terms of what people need, so I think it is just being open to that. And like I said, like, it changes so much. It is such a constantly changing landscape, isn't it, sort of marketing and social media, so you have to just be able to change. And I think that's probably where working for yourself as a freelancer and being self-employed compared to being an agency, you have that ability to change and adapt quickly, as I think agencies don't. And I've been I wouldn't say that's like why I got made redundant, but I think it's like, I think
it's probably part of it, isn't
I can see that a lot of agencies over the last sort of maybe years have had to change. And for them, that probably means getting rid of staff and changing their setup as what they're offering to large clients. But while they all sort of, I think they went for a phase of offering everything, and now they're having to diversify and be more specific. Whereas, as an individual, you can do that on a much easier basis, right? You can just sort of change your packages overnight if you want to.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, that is one of the joys, isn't it, of being self-employed, is having all that freedom to mix up your business, drop a service if you want, or learn a new skill or whatever. Going back to social media a little bit, I think I know the answer. Well, what is your favourite form of social media to promote your blog, to use, to work with clients on?
Well, yeah, it's definitely Instagram.
Shock. Has it always been that way? Have you been an early adopter of Instagram? Or and everybody, like, check out Charlie's beautiful feed. Your handle will be in the show notes.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't know if I was early. I think I've got very similar to everyone else, really. Very much, like, used it as a just social networking tool for a while, as well, you know, just personal. And then it just sort of slowly morphed into becoming more of a promotional tool, but also more of a passion and something I worked on as a sort of separate. It certainly at some point took over from blogging, I think, where it became my focus. And again, I think that's quite common for a lot of people. On a more personal sort of creative level anyway, like, that I stopped worrying about whether or not I'd blogged in ages, because I think I was posting to Instagram regularly and it became sort of my main creative outlet, definitely.
And what has been kind of your favourite things to do on Instagram, or your biggest growth tips?
I think If anyone's playing like What She Said Bingo, obviously I did Sarah Jasper's course.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that idea. Maybe I can market it, What She Said Bingo.
Yeah, I think we've ticked a few of them off today already.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that was obviously, and I did that, you know, that coincided with around the time I had just been made redundant and was thinking of, you know, trying to make being self-employed work. And so I think that really helped. It was something at that stage, actually, not only because it was such a brilliant course, obviously, and it really helped, but I think it really helped have something to focus on that was for me and that felt like I was investing in something that could help me promote my business, but also just hone my sort of skills on it, and just, yeah, so that was a really nice timing for me. To do that. So certainly that was, I think, a turning point for just sort of really making it something a bit more than just just doing it on more of a whim. It certainly made me think about the whole thing more strategically. But
Sarah's course is amazing. We were both on the Insta retreat, weren't we? Were we at the same time, yeah, or were you the one before me, I think? Or I can't remember.
I did the first.
Yes.
One.
Yeah, I was on the second. But it really is just one of the best courses, e-courses that I've ever done, because even though it's an e-course and you obviously do it at your own pace, the input Sarah has in your development, she's really, really involved. You do feel like you're getting a bit of mentoring as well. She's awesome. Yeah, obviously I'm a huge fangirl of hers. And she's in the last episode of the last series. So listen to it after you've listened to this one.
And also the community off the back of it is something that I found just so supportive. Like, yeah, meeting people like yourself and so many of like the people I would now consider like, yeah, my Instagram friends. Yeah. Like, a lot of that was around that time, and it was so supportive. And I think that certainly made a difference. And I guess before doing the course, just Sarah's content and Sarah's blog, I think I remember really, I remember reading one of her blogs about like white balance. And that was kind of, again, probably being a bit more like geeky side of things. I think that I remember that being a bit of a change for thinking, oh, like, you know, I could be looking at this in a more technical way, like, you know, just sort of your gallery feed and stuff. So I don't know when that would have been, but I certainly think, I think like most of us, there's probably a point if you scrolled back that you can suddenly see that sort of decision to try and make it something a bit more
it's the when the cringe factor of your post suddenly drops for me anyway, and I'm like, oh
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
get it out.
Yeah, suddenly. But I'm not someone who deletes those things. I quite like having them there. So it shows your progression, doesn't it?
I think it's important. Yeah. And nobody really scrolls back that far. I mean, if they do, then they're totally welcome to. But it doesn't fuss me. I like going back to it as well. And what has been the biggest stumbling block for your blog or your business, kind of aside from confidence, because I think we've talked a little bit about how confidence can hold you back, but has there been anything else that's really held you back?
Well, I suppose it's like confidence is probably the stem of most of those things anyway, but I think just having that clear vision, I guess, like we've touched on as well, and feeling a bit stuck for a while was probably the biggest stumbling block for me. But like I said, I sort of probably covered sort of how I worked my way out of that, mostly by sort of just trying, relaunching my website and having the thing. I think just dealing with everything on your own can be quite taxing.
it can be quite lonely, and
not just the loneliness, because I think I deal with all that I quite like working from home on my own. I actually like never particularly enjoyed being part of an office, so I think that really suits me. But I think having to wear all those hats is sometimes something that it's hard, because like no one has well, I mean, you know, you've got to learn them, but I don't think anyone really has all those skills in one person. You know, there's a lot of different things. You might suit one part of it, but that doesn't mean, like, you're great at the, I don't know, just the admin side of things, yes. or having to put, you know, like, I think certainly when...
Doing your own taxes.
that stuff and just keeping on top of those things. Yeah. And also just like for me, I think having to put on the account manager hat sometimes, you know, like different ways that you can speak to clients as well, and like have to manage, like, you know, obviously it's going back to pricing, but I do think that's like an important one. But there have definitely been times where as much as I felt like I don't need the team, I would quite like to have been like, oh, it'd be nice to have an account manager to like this side of things, you know, or to to make that initial thing. So
that's a really good point. Because it's really hard as well when it's your business and it's your name. It's really hard to separate your own personal feelings and be like, actually, you know what, this client, I need to set more boundaries with this client, or you know, I haven't done a very good job with this one, or I've done an amazing one with this one and they still haven't paid me, or you know, whatever. There is that side of it that nobody really talks about, and being able to bounce ideas off someone who, you know, it isn't just your husband who does a different job to you.
I was going to say, because when you mentioned your business bestie, that has been something that's been like really important for helping me this year, is I have had regular meetups with we call them like accountability partners, or mutual thing, or whatever it is. So, we never really know what to call it, but I meet up with a really good friend, Frankie, who runs a blog called Love Audrey, and she has been freelancing for years, so we just have like regular meetups once a month. We live near each other, and so we have them in face to face, which has been great. And that's just been so helpful, because it's like we really do sit down and just like talk about our goals, talk about what we're struggling with, talk about things like the pricing and clients, and just dealing with all of it, and what where we want to be, and all of it really. But like have just a nice catch up every month, and that's certainly something I would recommend for people as well. Like just find someone, and I think it's great to do like. To have a lot of people like that, like you said, like on Instagram, like I have so many people that I turn to and like have a little chat about bits that I'm struggling with. But I think it's really also a really good thing to have someone specific that you can and be honest with about stuff, you know. Like I think we're just very honest with each other, and obviously like keep each other's confidence and keep each other's just cheer each other on really. And as well, it's been really nice to have that.
I think that is a top tip. Thank you so, so, so much for being part of the podcast. Where can everybody find you online?
Yeah, sure. Okay, thanks. So, I'm _ Charlie Swift on Instagram and Twitter and everywhere. And my blog is onceaglimpse.com.
Great Maximilian. Yeah.
showing my music session. Yeah, so that's my blog, but my website is charlieswift.com as well for my digital marketing services. But obviously, I'm on maternity leave from now.
Exciting! Thanks for listening to What She Said. If you liked this episode or any of the other episodes, then please think about leaving me a rating and a review on iTunes, because it really helps get the show out to other awesome creators like you, and it's a little bit of an ego boost for me too. If you want to connect with me, you can find me over on Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook, everywhere, at Wanderloos Blog, or just head over to my blog, wanderloos.com, which is also where you can find the show notes for every single episode too. I love hearing what you think about the show, if it's good, and I try to reply to each and every one of you. Thanks for listening, and come back again next week.